Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure, 20 years or older, that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, Beef the Sour Cream and Onion Dream Chaser.
And I'm your cantankerous, sword-wielding, rat-having adventure, Mr. Miller.
There we go. That's us. It is
Patreon Pick Alright!
Which means every week this month in April, February week. Oh, man. Woo! Sorry, guys. I'm having an allergic reaction. Every week this month in February, we're picking from the Patreon pool. What is the Patreon pool, you ask? Well, if you go to patreon.com/supergarbageday, all one word, or check in the show notes for the link, you can become a patron. For $2, you can get access to our other retro podcast called Retro Deep Cuts.
Deep Cuts.
Which is just the other retro show. It's pretty much just...
It's the same thing, only different.
Yeah. It's exactly different. So... Also, if you pay the $5 tier, you get all of those episodes, plus once a month, you get to put a game of your choice 20 years or older, regardless of we played it or not.
Can you just suplex the room with that eye roll?
Oh. If we played it or not. And we pick from that once a month, but this month, every week this month, so... by the way, there is a new patron tier I added.
You got it this time.
I got it this time. I added another tier in case you wanted to add another game. It's just another $5 and that's it. You can add another game to the pool. So say you added your game this month and you're like, oh man, I want to add another game. Well, you can. And all that money funds the equipment and what it costs to host and produce and everything. So it goes right back into the show. We appreciate it.
You should have just filmed me fighting with the equipment today, and then they would understand.
Or me eye rolling into the Milky Way,
just throwing it into the abyss with your eye roll.
It's because my eyes are swollen from this allergic reaction. Apparently, I'm having. We have an Instagram. It is still growing. We're almost to 4,000 followers, dude. That is nuts.
Yeah,
we have almost gained 1,000 followers in like 40 days.
Let's go.
That's crazy. There are other shows I discovered through Instagram that gave us shout outs, and I want to give them shout outs. Glitches Get Stitches, as well as the Main Quest podcast.
Okay, so okay. You didn't make that one up.
Okay. And Straight Up Games, which is STR, the number 8. It's a couple of blokes across the pond.
Thank you, loves.
Yeah, they're good. They're good guys. I listen to their show and they just discuss retro stuff and they gave us a shout out. So appreciate that. Stickers, you want stickers, you hit me up on the DMs and Instagram. I will send you free stickers. I've already mailed out, I think, at least to at least 10 people.
Get deep in those DMs.
Yeah, deep in my DMs. So there's that. Also, we would like podcast reviews.
Podcatch.
Let's grab the ball and play podcatch.
You're a podcatcher, Harry.
Oh god. This just starts a thing over. Please, right into my voice cracking. Well. We like reviews, so if you want to leave us a review, please leave us a review. Thank you.
This whole thing has to stay now. Everything has to stay.
All right, so it's time for the retro question of the week. This week was another Cappy 74 question. And it was, what is the best thrift shop or garage sale find?
Well, you are on a roll today, my friend.
I am a disaster. Mr. Miller, I don't know how we're getting through this episode. I'm just a disaster.
What was the question again?
Well, let me say it without saying words in weird accents that don't exist. The best thrift shop or garage... You did it again! Garage sale find. For God's sakes. I mean, just take me to the ER, because apparently...
he's having a stroke.
And
at the end of the last allergic reaction. Of the show.
Yeah. That's good radio, man. That's breaking walls. You ever die live on your show?
You're right.
Okay. I'm just gonna,
what is it?
The question is best thrift shop or garage sale find.
Ooh.
Why couldn't I say garage?
What? Garage. I mean, gaming related?
I think it just says retro thrift. No, it actually just says best thrift shop or garage.
That's the word. That's the word that's going to defeat you.
Yard sale. Find. Oh my God. Oh, I hope this isn't somebody's first experience with us. Oh my God. We're going to think that we're just like, I don't know.
Oh, okay. best thrift shop or garage sale find.
God, we gotta keep it together.
I'm trying.
I know what's with me and the hard R on the garage. It's weird.
Garage.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, we're back, guys. Holy crap.
You know, I don't do a lot of thrifting. I'm trying to think of anything that I got. That's
you
like,
never been to like a cell that involved like a carport that had a big door
that you may or may not put a car in. Yeah.
I'm not saying that word, man.
I mean, yeah, but I usually, you know, I just like, I don't find anything that I'm just like, oh yeah, this is the thing.
So his answer is, you're poor because he's never even been to a thrift store. No, I'm kidding.
No, says, I mean,
what's a garage chone? No, sale.
Actually, it's this shirt I'm wearing right now.
There you go.
My my Darth Vader playing card T-shirt.
That's exactly what it is.
It's
and he's one of the D of spades.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shirts of all time.
He's the Darth of Vaders.
I cut the sleeves on it because off of it because sleeves are bullshit. But yeah.
They are. They're really restrictive when you play air hockey.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. So it would have to be that.
That's good.
Yeah.
You should just have an elaborate card trick where that card's in the deck. Yeah. And then have somebody draw it. And then like a month later, just like run into them and be like, oh hey, was this your card?
Just completely fuck the trick up and then
blow their mind.
And just show up and yeah. Find them later and just be like, wait. Is this your
card? Just make it onto the news and yeah. You're just wearing the card.
So yeah, that would be it. My favorite T-shirt.
Well, okay.
Cut off now, I guess. It's not a T-shirt anymore.
It's a tank for a tank. There was a place here called Secondhand Outpost, and it was this really small thrift store that was almost like 90s pop culture themed, which is cool as heck. And it was in that part of town. And I used to go there all the time.
He pointed that away so you folks. Just let me know.
If you've got your sextant handy.
Over yonder.
Yeah. It's 3x7.5W whatever. So I'd always stop in there to see if they had like old retro games. Because they would, you know. And they would just take in trades and give people money or whatever. So they were going out of business. The building got bought out. I was going by there one day and I just noticed there was like tons of people there and there was tons of stuff outside. And I walk up and I go, what's going on? It's like, oh, well, we're closing up this week. So grab a box and they hand you like a box, like, you know, standard size, medium sized box, you know?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, $20, fill the box up.
Oh, that's rad.
So I'm like, okay. I go in there. The place is a mess, dude. I'm like swimming through stuff. But I get to the back. I know where the Nintendo stuff is, and like, or just where the retro stuff is.
All mine.
Seriously. I was tall enough to reach like the areas that people weren't getting. Dude, I grabbed an Intellivision 3.
Oh, cool.
With like 7 boxed games, a copy of Mike Tyson's Punch Out, a copy of Tetris 1, 2, an NES that I still have, the one I use, that I play on, a full blown NES, everything. And like a bunch of action figures, Trash Bag Buddies, or Trash Bag Bunch, which was like these action figures I had when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And $20. The other $20, dude.
Oh, what?
I took that in Television 3 across the street to video game headquarters. It was our retro store, and they bought it off me for $200.
That's amazing.
And I just kept the Nintendo and the games. I'm not collecting in Television 3, but I come to find out like the Television 3 was like more one of the rarer ones, and this was full in the box.
But that's an amazing $20 score.
I don't think I'm ever gonna have like a find like that again in my life.
No, I mean, you made $180 and got a Nintendo cool stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
I got an original NES that worked with games. So ultimately I probably made, value's concerned, at least $300.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was so cool. It was just happenstance. And
I've always wanted to have something like that happen. Like, I've never walked into anywhere where they do the whole, whatever you can fit in this box type of thing.
Luckily for me, I lived close to it at the time. So I was driving, I'd drive by it almost every day to and from work. And so, I'd always stop in after work and just see if they got anything new. So my radar was pretty, I had my hand on their pulse for sure. So
no, that's a good story.
I actually went back and got a bunch of furniture, but that's not as exciting. So
furniture's cool too.
Yeah. It's all right.
You're old man corner now.
And they really didn't give a crap. I realized I could have just grabbed like 7 boxes, filled it full of crap, and gave them 20. And they'd be like, we don't care.
Yeah, they're just like, I just needed to
disappear. Want everything gone. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Holy crap. Ugh.
That was an adventure.
Yeah, it was an adventure in laughter and allergies
and garages.
I don't know what is with me and that word today, but that was so weird. And I feel good. I got good sleep. I'm sober. I don't know what
I might get called on this, but I'm pretty sure garage is French for shield.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
which is, you know,
can we just not stop talking about the word?
I want you to say it again.
I know.
I need it.
Nope. That'll be the next tier on our Patreon. Me say
garage.
Me say carport.
With a wall.
With a movable wall. Yeah. All right. So our game this week came from, I believe it was Kinshiro's.
This was Kinshiro's. Yeah.
He also gave us Tomba last time. So
he's got good taste.
He also has good luck because I think he's the first person to get his game picked twice. But then again, it is Patreon Appreciation Month. So I think
he was the only Patreon at the time.
He was actually. So, he was our first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but still, it's all randomly chosen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers to you, mate.
Kinshiro. He is a top mate for sure. It is Wild Arms on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I'm going to bring this one in. Wild Arms is a role-playing game developed by MediaVision and owned by...
This episode's going to be the death of us.
It's going to be 6 hours of me editing tomorrow. Oh, Wild Arms is a role-playing game developed by MediaVision and owned by... why am I mixing...
Konami.
No.
No?
Sony Computer, but I keep saying Kony Computer.
Kony is the computer.
Kony 2022. 2012. Holy crap. What is wrong with me? Okay. Wild Arms is a role-playing game developed by MediaVision and owned by Sony Computer Entertainment, released on the PlayStation 1 in 1997. 1996 in Japan, though. Wild Arms' story takes place on a planet called Filgaia, where a trio of outcasts find themselves in the driver's seat to save the planet from invading evils.
The demons.
That's a game.
That's a wrap.
That's it. So, yep. We'll see you next week. We've already burned enough time.
Yep.
So, that's...
It's just going to be an episode of laughter.
Seriously, it's... I mean, I'm going to leave a lot in, but there's a lot I am not leaving in. I can only mess up so many times before they're like, is he okay? Does he have a problem? Should he reach out to a sponsor?
Yep.
It's time for first impressions. Well, you kind of gave me yours earlier today, so before we started recording, but let's go over. Let me hear yours.
I mean, first impressions? First impressions were, oh, crap. This is way more protected than anything we've had to deal with before. As an educational review, we have to get our media from certain sources sometimes. And this one, I immediately was just like, yo, we're going to have to buy this game.
Yeah.
because it's hard locked for anybody who's trying to play it on an emulator. You're going to have a hard time finding it.
I didn't notice that the Game of the Week channel on our Discord. And if you want to join our Discord, link in the bio. And by the bio, I mean the show notes in the garage. So I noticed that nobody was really talking about it because I'm like, I don't think anybody was able to play this.
Yeah, no, it is. If you play as the middle character, Jack, I believe is his real name. He's Mr. Miller to me because we'll get into that.
Yes.
But he is the only one that is untouched. You could play the game with just him.
Yep.
And be okay, but you can't continue the game unless you have all three characters. And Rudy doesn't render. And is it Cecilia?
Yeah.
Cecilia is hard locked. One of her magic ability, like the ability to gain more spells, just crashes the game.
So this is crazy. I had completely different problems when I first started playing it. Actually, on my first impression video. So every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I will do a first impression on Twitch, twitch.tv/supergarbageday. Also in the show notes. And on my playthrough, I got through all of Jack's intro, mm-hmm. and then I got to Rudy, who I named Beef, and everything was fine until I had to go buy a sword, and then it froze the game.
Oh, see, that's another one for Rudy. Yeah, that's another soft lock for Rudy. But if you go into actual combat with him,
right,
his face is just like green pixels.
Oh, so it's like a creepypasta almost.
Yeah, so he doesn't render at all.
Okay.
But once I did get a console going and get an actual copy of the game,
which was only $10.
It's only $10 on the PS store, which is without even jumping the shark, worth the price.
Yeah. And also compared to the physical copy, which is $160
exactly.
Yeah. So,
but you know, first impressions,
I would not pay.
First impressions. It is. This is the heyday of JRPGs. You know, they're very much almost cut and paste, but you're there for the story. And so it did suck me in. I liked the multiple intros kind of thing.
Yeah.
Especially because it introduces each character well and what their role is. Except for Rudy, it was confusing at first where I'm like, I keep slashing somebody with a sword, but he keeps pulling a gun out. How do I use that gun?
Yeah.
And it's in the spell list, but he doesn't have magic points because it uses
ammunition
because it's an arm, but that's a whole, like I said, I'm jumping the.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's, I mean, that's true. That's a part of your initial impressions is,
yeah.
Like, well, what is this?
What do
I have a gun, you know,
yeah.
in an RPG?
Because I was looking at it, I was like, he keeps pulling this gun out, but I don't have a gun equipped. Like, is that just something that's going to happen later? And they just never change the animation. But
right. Are you talking about like the winning animation?
When he pulls the gun out and I'm just like, where's this gun?
You should pull the gun out in the beginning of the fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, by the way, you lost and I have a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. My initial impression was that I really dug a lot of the game initially. Love the intro anime video.
Oh yeah, that's another thing I noticed. Like these games have these great anime intros.
Right?
Like who is doing this?
Well, I think they were utilizing the PlayStation's ability to have full motion video.
That makes sense.
Instead of making it like a cheesy, grainy video like the Sega CD did, mm-hmm. they were like, no, let's just do animation.
No, we can have DVD quality video now.
Very similar to Tomba. This game starts very similarly to Tomba, at least in a sense of how you watch a video that explains a good majority of everything leading up till you hit start.
Right.
Or I think in this case, this game kind of gives you it kind of gives you a run through, almost like a trailer of the game.
It's very much an anime trailer.
Yeah.
It's just like these are the events that are going to lead up to.
And the music, dude. Yeah. Oh, dude, it's like Western whistle, Spanish guitar, you know? Yeah. All that stuff. I love, dude, you throw that at me and you've won my heart immediately, dude. I love Western themed everything. But my initial thought too was like, this is very Trigun. I don't know if you know what Trigun is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Trigun, for those who are unaware, is an mid-90s anime about pretty much takes place in like a dystopian planet that's all Western.
Yeah.
And about like a guy who has a giant bounty on his head, and it's goofy, but it's like really cool.
There's a reboot actually that's
no kidding,
that's worth watching.
Really? I didn't know that.
I think it's on Hulu right now.
I love Trigun. I actually still own it. I own the DVD from like, God, 2002. It's bootleg as hell.
It's different, but it's good.
Cool. I'll check it out. But yeah, I got like Trigun vibes, which I thought was like, man. And then the further I looked into it, I started doing research on this game. I found out that the music producer and the director of the game, who ended up directing the other six games, because this
there's six of them?
Six Wild Arm games.
Because I saw Wild Arms 4, I think.
Oh, that's just the PS2.
And okay.
Yeah, so. Well, the Wild Arms 2 came out also on the PS1, and then they jumped over to PS2.
This became a franchise.
Legacy, yeah. Yeah. But the director and the director of music or the sound for the game, both huge Trigun fans.
So I mean, that checks out.
Yeah. Adds up. And they wanted to go that Western route.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another thing about my first impressions was I thought the controls were really tight from the beginning. I thought like, wow, just a lot of directions you can move. I like the running.
Oh yeah. The dashing. The dash mechanic is fun.
I thought it looked really good. And I liked when you go into buildings, like the becomes transparent immediately. I didn't notice a lot of loading, almost zero loading, but I don't know if that's because
I don't think there's any loading.
I didn't see any loading whatsoever other than like pressing start.
But then again, I'm playing
the hardware is different. We're not playing the $160 original copy on a PlayStation. However, everything
I don't see anywhere where there could be a loading screen though.
Yeah. And I'm really curious to see if I should have looked this up now, but I wasn't thinking of this till right now. I wish I could watch a playthrough of somebody playing on actual hardware, because I'm curious how much loading there was, because there was zero loading in my entire 10 hours I put into this game so far. So if it's not there, even if it's there, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because at the time you were used to loading.
Right.
PlayStation 1 was people forget, man, that loading sucked, but you got used to it. Just like 56K modem. I mean,
that's when you went and made a sandwich or got in a drink, went to the bathroom. It was,
or you had a garage sale. Yeah. Probably not that long of loading, but yeah. So pretty much it checked every box for me on a first impression. Mm. I had no complaints. So be that as it may, with that said,
let it be.
Yeah.
Let it be.
Paperback Writer. All right, let's go into gameplay then. I'm so
ba, 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 ba. We just need
I'm loving it. Yeah. Is that McDonald's?
Do I need to just scratch you down?
Scratch me down, baby. No, I'm
just gonna turn into like a weird ASMR channel.
I think like a super hot shower will solve this. What's wrong with me? I think you're
having a stroke, my guy.
Do rashes come with strokes?
I don't know, but
so anyways, Patreon. No, kidding. gameplay. So this game is an RPG, a JRPG. That is not only a 2D RPG, but also a 3D RPG, because most of the movement's done from a top down standard, you know, type game this way. I don't want to say RPG 1,000 times, but
RPG, RPG, RPG.
Oh my God. Garage RPG. But when you go into combat, it's in three dimensions and it's pixelated. And what game does it remind you of immediately?
Final Fantasy VII.
Okay. This game predates Final Fantasy VII.
Right.
This game predates almost all JRPGs.
From watching my friend play it, it's also got like some Suikoden vibes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It predates Suikoden.
Yeah, that was 99, but right?
When I said it predates all JRPGs, I'm talking 32-bit. Technically. I'm not going to include...
like Final Fantasy and...
It predates the games that were like this, because mm-hmm. it's easy to look at this game and say, oh wow, this is just like the dime a dozen at this time, because this was
started it. This is the blueprint.
This game, actually, the further I looked into it, this was the first game to take a JRPG into the 32-bit era, where every game started mimicking what this game did. I don't want to say including Final Fantasy VII or Suikoden, but this game came out before both of those. And the only game that predates this one that could be close is a game called Beyond the Beyond, and it's hot garbage.
Okay.
So, because this is the grandfather. This was the transition. This game is why they went that direction with JRPGs moving forward.
That immediately alleviates my biggest critique of it, because I was, you know, while playing it, gameplay is tight, but it gets tedious sometimes,
right?
Because of that, you know, random encounter fight. You know, I'm just trying to get to the next town.
It's got that typical random encounter happens and a lot sometimes.
It's especially because I'm like, all right, literally one of my characters does more damage than any of these monsters have health.
Right?
Can I just obliterate them and go? But no, he doesn't do an AOE. So it's just like, there's 300 damage wasted on this 40 hit point creature.
And it seems at first kind of sloppy, but it does actually tighten up later.
It's well, and
could you get those AOE attacks?
Oh yeah. I mean,
and also you can run.
Yeah. Yeah. But I ain't no punk. We ain't running from this.
But if you're
there's
like
a wake of bodies in my path, man,
but if there's like seven little like kit foxes or something and you're like, I just want to get on to the boss. I'm going to
shove a sword down every one of their throats, and I will take the 8 Gela that they give me.
Walk out of the cave. This is like a 3-piece suit of foxtails.
Yeah.
Told you.
But so knowing that it's the grandpappy.
It's the grandfather of, I shouldn't say grandfather. It is the transitionary game.
Okay.
So every game before this look like Super Nintendo RPGs.
Yeah.
Every game after this
looks like this game.
Looks like this game.
That makes sense then.
So this was this, and also it was kind of, the more I looked into it, it's really fascinating history.
Old and busted, new hotness.
Yes, precisely. New itchy, old garage.
Garage.
So, yeah, it's that's something to really heavily consider. Because it's almost like playing like A Link to the Past and being like, this game reminds me of Zelda. Like played.
Oh, you know, yeah.
It's very Zelda-ish. But then you realize, oh, this is the game that changed a lot. Every game that came out that year, 97 was an MF-er
for
RPGs on the PlayStation 1. Because it has some of the greatest.
97 was an MF-er for games in general.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII. Suikoden. So many games. But also, this game came out a year prior in Japan. So there may have been some, I don't know, I don't want to accuse
maybe
it,
some reworking or something.
But I'm thinking that Final Fantasy VII, it's so close.
Yeah.
The fight system, when you battle. Now, Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah, because they got that they got that gauge, too, that grows. Which
that doesn't happen on this one, but
it does.
Not on mine.
Yeah, no, you have that, what I don't remember what the system's called, but it's a... So if you're in the fight menu, it's the little fireball down below.
I never use that.
It's like where some of your cooler abilities are.
What?
Yeah.
I never use it because I was like waiting. Well, I can. Oh, we'll talk about it later, though. But
no, this is gameplay.
No. I mean, like, I never used it, but I was about to start using it. But then I feel like I'm going to give away a bunch of. I guess I could talk about it.
Yeah, maybe.
Not really spoilers, but like when I got the Guardians, that's when I was.
That's where they are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I was going to start using it. But I'm like right there.
Yeah.
In the game. By the way, what do the Guardians remind you of?
The mechs.
Not just the mechs, but in Final Fantasy, what are things that you can summon?
Oh,
I forget the name. I'm asking you because I legitimately don't remember the name, but.
Because that system continues forever. What is that called? What is that system called?
I forget.
Because it's not just summons,
it's something similar.
Come on, brain, we can do it without Googling it.
Not a relic. I don't know. See, thing is, I've only played Final Fantasy X. I've seen Final Fantasy VII gameplay.
Same.
I'm aware of its impact, and I know like scenes and all that.
Watch people play 8, but I've never played it.
Yeah.
What is that system called? Anyways.
Yeah, I forget. We're not Final Fantasy guys.
Insert system here.
But this game had that. Just think about like the winning when you get into a fight, the sound it makes, jumping in, the camera rotating, the three-dimensional way everything looks chunky and blocky. And then when you win, it does like a win song. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, man, I was like, wow, this is, because at first I was like, this is ripping off so many games. Then I'm like, oh, this game did it first. Okay. Because this game to me is a mixture as far as gameplay is concerned. When you are 2D, it is a Link to the Past. Mm-hmm. It takes everything a Link to the Past did and just keeps it. Doesn't make it better. Because, you know, Link to the Past is,
I mean, how do you
a masterpiece.
How do you improve
but,
on?
But the bombs, like you can drop the bombs. You can use a hookshot mouse thing.
I did like that, yeah. Where it's like each character has their own tool.
Yeah, they're tools that you use when you're not in combat, which is very reminiscent of Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Like a lot of those things. There's a hookshot kind of thing. There's a torch kind of thing that lights things on fire. There's the bombs. There's the clock.
The rewind. Goes backwards. Yeah.
And so it's, to me, this game is Link to the Past and Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
No, that's pretty spot on.
And it's literally the transition from Link to the Past into Final Fantasy VII as far as like RPGs were concerned in the timeline. So it's perfectly placed in the history of RPGs for me as far as gameplay is concerned, because I like the gameplay. I thought I had no problem grinding in it. I liked the mechanics of movement. I thought they were super tight. Any mistakes I made, I felt like I made on my own. I love the dash mechanic because you're sloppy at it first. Then when you get good at it, it feels good to use, you know, when you can just cut around corners and stuff.
Did you try and beat the fastest time in the festival?
Oh yeah. I got second.
I just gave up because I was like, I'm gonna go do a thing that's actually gonna give me rewards.
Also, that's another thing about the gameplay. The pacing of the game, I think, is fantastic as far as gameplay is concerned. Because once something starts getting kind of redundant and boring, they just introduce something new. They're like, oh, now here's a festival happening, and there's all these mini games, and these mini games reward you, even though you have to gamble your money.
Right.
I feel like the fighting system is simple but deep. The spell system is novel, where you get a crest, and you take it to a lady or a man or a magician of some sort, and then you actually pick on the board
the combination
so it's like light or dark, and then you pick the elements, and then you practically create the spell.
Basically,
you get to name it.
My it was funny when my roommate was watching me play. There was a moment where I was just like, I don't want to run to the front of the dungeon again. I was like, wait, I have a spell for this.
Right.
I named it GTFO, and he just died laughing. Where he's like, see, that's the name of the spell. I was like, no, I made that spell.
I didn't even know that spell existed, because the spells I created were more, were like debuffs for against enemies. So, you know, they were, that's hilarious. So
yeah.
GTFO.
Yeah. I was just like,
I could have used that.
Yeah. Cause so, I was just like, immediately, as soon as I figured out that was an option, I was like, no, I'm taking that, because I hate in these style of games where you're just like, oh, you did the thing, now run through a million encounters again,
right,
back to, you know, backtrack through the dungeon, where it's just like, no, I'm just gonna go talk to the lady now. I just rip myself out of
and
it.
And also, you're not married to it. Like, you can destroy it, get your thing back,
if it becomes something I'm not gonna use. That's exactly great.
It's so customizable.
So I couldn't take it anymore. I looked it up. Force. That's the
force.
Force is the option that you never used. When you're fighting, and gotcha, it'll say like force leveled up.
Yeah.
I
never knew what that meant.
So it's the bottom. It's the fire, which the comet. I guess is what it's supposed to be. You start with just one tier, and each character does something different.
And it goes down further and further?
Yeah. So you unlock more abilities. So for example, Jack starts out with an ability that ensures he goes first.
Right. Yeah. Cause he does always attack first.
Well, this one ensures it. So even if a creature like buffs their speed or something,
no matter what,
he's always going to attack first.
That's cool.
Then I played this game as B-Ross, Mr. Miller, and Julia, just as a shout
out. It's kind of funny though, because it's all like, you made that when we first picked the game, or the game was chosen last week.
Yeah.
You said, these kind of looks like us.
Yeah.
Like,
but I was like, hold on. This character looks like Brian. And then I'm like, man, this one looks like me. And I was like, oh, I just met Julia.
So she's a female character.
And she's blonde. So it's just an obvious pick for me. And I was like, that's how I'm playing it because it's cute for me. So I don't know what the real characters' names are.
You know what's funny is by you being like, well, I'm going to stop using the characters' names and just use our names, actually is going to make this more confusing.
So anyways, when I use an ability, I go first.
On you.
When you use your ability, then...
I went full... Like, I kept Jack because of, like, Jack Cheese. But my character's names were Beef, because I always name things Beef or Beef Supreme. Beef, Jack, and Eggs.
Okay.
So, which Princess that's, Eggs was really Princess funny to Eggs, hear. That's pretty, and she eats that, all the time.
Yeah, she's always they hungry. Really,
okay, the lore in the game is well made because mm-hmm. I gave a crap about these characters. It's hard for me to give a crap about characters when there's no like voice
right.
work and I have to do a lot of reading. But they did such a good job of forcing you to be like get to know these characters and get to know their mechanics that and from the beginning that I understood all of their personality traits. And I believed it, especially in the way they reacted to certain things.
It's really funny in Princess Eggs or Julia's storyline.
Princess Julia Eggs.
When you get to the cooks in the university she's at whatever it is. And they're just like, dinner's not ready yet. Yeah, come back later.
Because you know for eating.
And yeah. And it's so funny because I kept coming back. And I was just like, you better feed this woman.
She brings it up later, too, saying well, like she was known for eating. I was like, I named her the perfect thing.
You know, there's a spot where, you know, you're just like talking to a bartender and he's just like, just wait until all the customers are gone and then I'll tell you the secrets of the world or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And she's like, can I get 5 hamburgers?
And he goes, really?
And yeah. Like, and then Jack, Mr. Miller, what's his name? What'd you name him?
Just Jack.
Okay, you got Jack. Actually, okay.
Jack Cheese.
Jack Cheese, yeah. Mr. Miller, or Jack. He's got an extra title, The Adventurer.
The Adventurer.
The Dream Chaser.
With the rat.
With the rat. But he...
the rat's like, smarter than all of them.
Oh, yeah. He's just
sentient.
Like, he's like, I couldn't believe you got second. So that means that woman ate 10
hamburgers.
Hamburgers, yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. But
back to what I was saying, that I just drew a blank again. What will we do without these computers in our hands?
Are you talking about the force?
Force ability, thank you. The one for B-Ross or Beef.
B-Ross.
It does more damage and ensures a hit.
So, it's so like that's like the targeting?
It's like a targeting thing, yeah.
Well, I noticed it was you sometimes because you can toggle like...
Your autoplay.
Not only can you toggle the autoplay for individual characters, but you can set the type of autoplay. So it can be defensive. It can be mm-hmm. well-rounded. It can be aggressive. There's so many layers of customization in this game that was unnecessary.
See, maybe I probably could have just played the game on auto instead of...
I tried that. I tested it out. Nah, man, they dump all of your mana. They do this. Yeah. You're fighting a mouse and they're just coming out guns blazing and summoning freaking guardians. Yeah. You're like, bro, it's just one hit. Like, I can get them with just the standard. I can unequip my sword and kill them.
Yeah.
With my fists.
The caster, hers mystic, the starting one, is actually really cool. Because.
Oh, it, flame or?
No. The force ability.
Yeah.
So, like, if you need a mass heal.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to like learn a spell or something, if you use that mystic ability on like a healing berry, it'll unlock its power and it'll give it to everybody.
Dude, so, I didn't even know. And yeah. I was already like deep in this game. Like,
you can give, if you use her starting wand, if you just have one of those in her inventory, you can use that mystic ability and give a shield to everyone in your party.
Dude, that's so deep.
Yeah. It made me start, like, I was like, I'm not selling any of my weapons then because I want to know what this mystic ability does with it.
I've been selling them. I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. Now, like, that changes the whole thing for me because, oh, man, that makes it. And I already thought, like, I was doing pretty good, but I feel like this game allows you to play it the style you want to. See, I feel like I was really kicking butt in this game so far. I've beat all the bosses so far without a problem, really. And I didn't even know that option was there.
Oh, yeah. It's a game changer, too, because, like, then it changes how I think of a fight. Because I'm like, well, I could just beat these guys down.
Yeah.
But if I choose to just defend this turn and let the caster use that mystic ability, we essentially get a full party heal instead of burning resources.
Wow. I did not know that.
So it's like one berry heals the entire party now instead of like having to go out of combat. And
does it also work for attacking like AOE on enemies?
I haven't found it in an item that does that, but I guarantee you there is an option.
I also kind of like the idea you get all these weird items that don't have descriptions and you just use them and you're like, oh, it does that.
You just figure it out. Cool. Yeah.
Like the wild card. I use that and it's like, okay. And it randomly gives you like some kind of buff after, or like some kind of a reward after.
See, and I was just sitting there holding on.
It'll double your XP.
I was just sitting there holding on to it because I wanted to activate it with the mystic ability.
And I don't know. Well, I hold on to it now for the boss fights. Cause it, it kept like doubling my XP stuff. And your gold at the end of the, if you win, if you don't, it takes away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like, It's interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. But also, this game goes from like PG to R really fast.
Oh, I was noticing that.
I didn't expect a scene where I'm looking for a kid. I'm in the midst of like a great party, a little festival, having fun. And then these parents are like, hey, we lost our kid. He has a balloon. I'm like, oh, it's a little weird fetch quest, side quest thing, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I went to find the kid. And that's when all hell breaks loose and these meteors come raining down and it kills the kid in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, and you look around and everybody's dead or dying. And I'm like, wow, this took a sharp left turn from being like kidsy to like, wow, this is, I don't know. I mean, if I was a kid, it didn't really affect me as an adult, but like, I was like, I want my son to try this out for his first RPG. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll wait. Or we just get past the part where kids are being killed. And family members are, where's my kid? Where's my husband? It's just chaos.
When you're trying to rescue all the townsfolk and his last breath. And like you pick him up and his body goes cold. And it's just like, what?
Or like the other person's like, well, he's breathing, but his wounds are too far gone. Just leave him. I'm like, God. But then, you know, what's cool too, is that scene, like, the game throws things at you you don't expect. Like I think keeps it fresh. Like you're playing, you go from like the same grind, the dungeon grind of fighting a boss to like, okay, now you're going to the festival. Okay, now like all demons are coming from space and killing people. Now you need to go collect people in town and you have what, 5 minutes to do it?
5 minutes to go through the whole entire town.
It changes the game for the people you don't get, because if you, everybody you collect, the people you left behind, you have to rebuild that town as part of the game.
Right.
Those people are gone. I forgot to get the guy that was at the inn.
Oh, really?
I couldn't use the inn.
Oh, that's,
he's dead.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. Like, and then it goes from that to a sneak thing, like a stealthy part where you have to like, oh, that was the hardest part for me, dude.
Oh, getting past all avoid the guards.
Because you have to like, there's a part
they're
of the
fast
game. Well, and also like you a lot of trial and error. You go through a door and it's like, gotcha, go back to your room. You know, but once I got past that and then it goes back, I'm like, wow, they really mix it up to keep it fresh.
Because
it's not your standard game of, all right, this town, here's the dungeon, here's the boss, all right, go across the world map, here's the town, here's the dungeon. They kind of pepper it with a bunch of new stuff that keeps popping up while the fighting mechanics are actually evolving alongside that. Because they went from, once you open up different skills and abilities, and I didn't even know about this force thing. Like, yeah. I didn't know what it
was. That's going to change the whole game for you, man.
And then it's like, you get to a point where like, it actually makes it more of a chess game instead of it being like attack or defend. And I thought that was really cool, man. I really, like I said, it hit a lot of check marks for me.
Mm.
And I love this kind of JRPG, this kind of style. I like this as classic as it gets, but also really accessible to people who don't want too much grind. Or don't want 60 characters to have to cycle through in your party of three. This forces you to play those three.
It's just three. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of one of my favorite JRPGs. And I just drew a blank on it. It was for the Game Boy Advance. Not Fire Emblem.
Oh, is it Golden Sun?
Golden Sun. Thank you.
Okay. I had a feeling it was Golden Sun.
Yeah, because there's you got the three main characters.
Yeah.
But it's also got kind of like a Pokemon aesthetic, because you got the little Jin. When now we're doing a Golden Sun but it reminded me of that with, you know, you got your three main characters. They all have their own niche, and their own style, but
they're very close. I think they're the closest you can relate to one another, at least,
even aesthetically, they look very similar.
Yeah. I feel like some of the people who developed, this is ringing a bell. Don't at me on this, but I feel like some of the people who worked on Wild Arms worked on Golden Sun.
I wouldn't.
That came across my research somewhere, but I want to make sure I back that up before I just say wild things. But I could have sworn when you said, that's why I remembered you said, when you said, reminds me of Golden, or I remember Golden Sun. I'm like, I think it's some of the team members worked on Golden Sun from Wild Arms.
It feels very, like, it felt familiar. As soon as I started playing it, I was just like, I know this game, but I've never played this game before.
Right.
So I would put money that at least members.
Yeah.
If not the entire team made this.
Like I said, I think I came across that information, but I don't want to, I'll double check before I state that as truth.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
But I could see it. All right. Graphics and audio.
Graphics and audio. Solid. Knowing now that this is basically the blueprint for how JRPGs are going to be made for the next, honestly, 30 years, because they're still being made like this.
They are, yeah. That's the now this is considered the old school style of JRPG, but it was the evolution from the Super Nintendo JRPGs to the PlayStation and maybe Saturn. I don't know. I don't know if a lot of people played those.
I will say, some of the monsters are way more horrifying than their level requires them to be. Like the very first thing you fight, the balloon? Which is just face? A bunch of mutilated faces congealed into a ball with arms.
I
thought
the same thing. I was like, God, this is a really very disturbing first enemy to fight.
Yeah, but it's just like, I poke it and it dies. And I'm like,
it is a balloon after all.
Okay.
Yes.
But that was my only like critique where I was like, was this a placeholder enemy? And then they just decided to leave it because
the name.
Yeah. Well, no, just the art. Cause it's, I'm over here being like, this was some in-game bullshit. And it's just like, nope, man, he's very first enemy you're ever going to fight.
And I wonder if that's a localization thing though, where like it was not called Balloon because they have a character named Balzac.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, was that his name or was it Berserker?
I don't. Yeah.
I'm wondering if there was like some localization. I think they did a good job with the translation. Otherwise, nothing seemed weird or like funny.
But I don't have any complaints. And we talked about the music.
Music's fantastic.
If you like some good. We get in some cowboy aesthetic.
It does both. It definitely blends Western and RPG together.
I do have a complaint.
What is it?
Where are my cowboy hats?
Yeah. Also,
they're items, and I don't get to put them on my head. Like,
well, Jack starts with one.
Yes, but it's not on his. It's just that long, flowing blonde hair.
That's true. I do like seeing the items on my characters. But B, as this is one of the first RPGs on the PlayStation,
I can forgive it.
I forgive it,
but
it definitely.
I if you're
it's a Western
if you're gonna have a cowboy game, I need some god. Hats, like.
Well, you know, and also like Jack should have been the character with the gun, but whatever, it's fine.
Oh, especially because he's
the most Western.
It's especially because his magic abilities are called quick draw abilities.
I know, and doesn't have a gun.
Okay.
I did read a little bit into the research of this game, and the originally they wanted Jack to be dual wielding with a pistol and a knife.
See, that'd be dope.
But they said it would have been game breaking. And that the limitations weren't allowing that. So they focused their energy on the other parts of the game, which was primarily customization. This is one of those RPGs that
it's funny because he totally has that gunslinger aesthetic.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Look at the box art.
Yeah, he should have started with the arms.
That's what I was saying.
And Rudy should have started with.
I don't know why. I feel like those guys, they were switched.
Flip-flopped. Yeah.
Yeah, but it works. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they continued that into the sequels. But yeah, that's the graphics are great. They look PlayStation 1 when you fight.
I mean, the effects are still cool, though.
It's goofy, but it didn't bother me. It didn't take me out of it.
First time I pulled out my gun, I was just like, oh, hell yeah. Nice.
Yeah, a lot better than Outcast when you pull out your gun. You're like, not nice.
Boca.
It's a boing, 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 boing. But yeah, I like it. I really liked, as far as graphics are concerned, the effects. They have little subtle effects. Like you walk through a puddle and your footprints are wet and then they start to get less and less wet. They didn't have to do that.
No.
The weather effects are great. The parallax scrolling in some environments adds atmosphere. So you're inside of a cave and there's a little bit of like a haze that's you can tell is like above, you know, whatever the sprites are, but it just adds to it. Like they did so many things. There's little touches of love there. The 2D version of the game is so much prettier than the 3D, but the 3D version is just Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII. You know, like that's how it looks. It's just clunky and old. And the first time they did it, you know, but this is the first time they did it. And that speaks a lot. It speaks volumes to this game that, you know, like this was the standard. So when this came out, people were like, that looks awesome. And
everything that is not this was hot garbage.
Yes. Honestly, yeah, because then came all the copycats.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that the copycats didn't realize that they were riding the coattails of Wild Arms or riding the coattails of Final Fantasy VII. But perhaps Final Fantasy VII took some pages out of Wild Arms' book. So there we go. Only you can prevent forest fires. I was slowly becoming Sam Elliott in that paragraph.
Thank you, Smokey the Bear and Sam Elliott.
You're welcome. I'm not as itchy anymore. I feel better.
Ah, yeah.
So we got through it. Yeah, so it didn't need voice acting.
Even Sam Elliott has a cowboy hat. We need more hats.
Was it Sam Elliott to narrate the game? and then eggs cut her hair.
and
spoiler alert. The princess cuts her hair.
But after the only how do you make a cowboy trust you? Cut your hair off.
Yeah, that's what happens. He's like, I don't trust you. I didn't know you were a princess. She's like, wait a second. Give me your knife.
I had no princess. He's like, no, it's too big for you. It's too big.
That's what he said. And then she grabs the knife and I'm like, what is she going to do?
You can't. I thought she was going to kill herself.
I was engaged. I thought, what's going on here?
I literally thought it was like a seppuku moment was going to happen. I thought
she was going to, and he was going to stop her and be like, no, save her. But she's like, nah. It's like a strong female, I think, character for this time. Because it's like the princess. I mean, it's a trope of like, oh, the princess doesn't want to be a princess and wants to be whatever. But I think that they made her character really
the most of as a human I've ever felt was when you guys didn't know who I was.
Right. And that sentence made my brain go, what? Yes. She's like, now give me your knife.
Yes.
And then she cuts her hair off and then he's like, all right, you can be one of the boys.
Yeah.
But it worked. It's fine. It was, and then her dad dies. So
immediately,
we're just ruining the whole game.
It is a 1997 game.
True.
I don't.
Also, that happens in the first 5 hours. So
I mean, it literally rolls. It does the intro credits. Yeah,
bro. I was 4 hours in, and then it's like,
you just started the game.
And then it rolls credits, and I was like, it does a little like cutscene on the side, and I'm like, this game is badass. Like I loved that, and it shows the funeral happening.
It's gonna be real hard because I'm gonna have to finish this game.
Me too, 100%.
And I, you know, I'm gonna have to balance everything else going on in my life and this podcast and playing this game. Bro, on the side.
I kept looking forward to playing it more. To be honest,
I'm gonna go home and play it tonight.
Yeah, I played it.
I literally
I have it loaded.
Pushed here. Pause and drove over here.
It was And the cutscenes are crazy, dude. You know the scene when, like, the sky, like, when the thing goes down with the festival? It kind of blew my mind. Where the
sky is literally
open.
Falling, yeah.
And behind the sky is, like, demon stuff. But I was blown away by the art because, like, how do they do that? Like, they're two different art styles.
Mm-hmm.
So behind it is, like, this parallax kind of, like mesh. And then they have, like, polygons, but it looks like it's pre-rendered. It blew my mind, that scene. It was so... not probably a thing to blow somebody's mind.
Well, honestly, it probably blew people's mind when it came out.
Dude, like, I was like,
was probably just like, what?
And it comes out of nowhere because so far in the game, you're just seeing what the game offers you graphically. And then that happens and I'm like, what, dude? That's cool.
It's a all of a sudden the movie's in color moment. Like,
oh yeah, kind of. Yeah, this is the Wizard of Oz of JRPGs.
Well, because it was kind of it was fully rendered too, though. Like it, you know, because we hadn't been the, most of the game is in that 2D.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you get like fully rendered three, like in the 2D world, right? You get the fully rendered, like the sky has depth, and you're like, is this a dome world? Like, what's going on?
I
know,
it made me question. I was like, what is all that behind there? Like, why is there this weird aura of like evilness? That the sky's falling apart like Truman Show.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what is going on here? And it blew my mind. And then after that, you get all this crazy dramatic stuff happens, and you get this, and then it pulls the rug out from you again, and it starts rolling the intro credits. You're 4 hours deep.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool.
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 That's actually been one of my favorite things. And like, how I know a game's going to be good is if you play for X amount of hours and then it rolls the intro credits, you're like, all right, let's buckle up for this.
That's also a sign of like of like a games director like really believing in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah,
yeah,
you like that,
you want some more,
you like that cinematic. Yeah, but so there's that. I mean, that's all I got for graphics and audio, so yeah. I think there's only one category left to discuss.
I think we already
that's verdict.
Yep.
Well, I'll start. I love this game. Like, I love this game. I'm not even joking. I wish I could buy a copy just to have it, because
like the physical disc.
The physical copy, way too expensive.
Yeah.
I might end up buying like a loose. It's such a weird, there's such a distance of value between the loose and the complete. Oh, you can get a loose copy for like anywhere from $29 to like $33. But the complete, I don't know why.
With like the manual and
yeah,
the,
but it's also one of those thicker cases. But I think it was only a one disc game.
Maybe it has like a like bonus material,
special stuff.
Like,
yeah.
Or like a soundtrack or something.
That would make sense. That's probably what it is.
But although I'll save it. Well, it's gonna be a bonus episode.
Okay.
But the back in the day when you could just throw the disc into your Walkman.
Oh yeah, you can play it. The PS1 lets you do that. I remember, right? Or the PS1 lets you, maybe I'm thinking that backwards.
No, it's like you throw like a game disc into a CD player and it'll have the soundtrack on it.
Yeah.
That's an idea I've been cooking up for an episode.
Did the PS1 have the black discs?
If I remember correctly, that's PS2 was black discs. But
I think you're right.
It might have also just been certain games.
Right. No, I don't know. I'm not recalling if the PS1 or the PS2 had the black disc. I have a PS1 game here. I should go look at it, but I have Siphon Filter. Yeah, it is black disc. Big black disc.
Big black disc.
Beautiful, shiny.
I'm over here just Googling BBDs and I'm not getting I'm not getting what I want.
So, yeah, it was PlayStation 1. PlayStation 2 were normal.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that is... Oh, because, wait, did PlayStation...
It was like a piracy thing.
Did PlayStation 1s... They didn't play... DVDs didn't exist when PlayStation 1 was out. Okay, so that's why...
They played music CDs, like compact discs, but they didn't...
But, I mean, that's probably why, is because they had to switch over to a different format so that it was easier for the laser to read... DVDs.
I wonder if that did anything to like the optic drive's lifespan or like the disc's lifespan. I wonder, like, the whole idea to go like the black disc, which is crazy to me because they were one of the first like major CD based.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a weird
move. Yeah, because it was Sega CD before that?
Yeah.
And then PC?
Well, the PlayStation exists solely because Nintendo was going to have Sony build the Nintendo CD attachment for like Nintendo 64 with the CD attachment. And they developed it. They developed a console.
I've never heard of that.
And they developed a console together. And then Nintendo said, like, well, we want to stranglehold a lot of like the control. And Sony was like, no. And so they broke ties. And Sony took everything they created and made the PlayStation. So the PlayStation exists because of Nintendo.
Nintendo created its own monster.
Yes. Created its own enemy.
That's amazing.
And PlayStation went on to sell currently the most consoles ever,
of all time. It's the PlayStation 2.
To be eclipsed pretty soon by the Switch. But
yeah,
it's really interesting. And that there's one system that was ever And it, what's funny is I've seen the system every year at the Portland Retro Game Expo. Not every year, but the year I went, somebody brought it. It's worth so much. It's, I think it's the most valuable retro game item in the world. I think it's worth like $500,000.
The Nintendo CD?
Yeah, the Nintendo PlayStation. That's what it's called.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. And it had guards. It had armed guards around it, and it was enclosed.
It's like a Fabergé egg of, bro, of gaming systems. We're talking like
a $500,000 item.
Oh god!
In a place full of thousands of people.
Yeah,
yeah. They had like armed guards, and it was like behind. But I got to see it. That was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's operable or anything, but so yeah. And then Sony or Nintendo decided to go with Philips.
Okay.
And they made like a handful of really crappy games, like a Mario game, a Zelda game. And then just like cut the contract. And
they're just like, nah.
Yeah. And then Sony, you know, the rest is history. So that's a little story. So yeah, I love the game. 100% gets not only my must play, it's worth the $10.
Oh, easily.
Just give it time. You know, like it's one of those games that you have to at least give it 2 hours and you'll be in love. Give it 2 hours. Let it sink its hooks into you and look past, you know, like the early random encounters happening all the time in the graphics.
At least get through the three main intros,
which is cool that they did that. Not a lot of games did that before.
And see, I thought it was going to go further than that, where like they weren't going to meet up until a lot later,
right? But you have to go out looking for them too. That's cool that like as Princess Eggs, Julia Eggs, you know, you have to go find the other dudes. And I thought it was cool too because it didn't limit you, and then you guys split up and come back together a lot throughout the game, which I think is cool too. Like, but I'm about 10 hours in. Apparently I'm doing really well though, because I don't know if, are you familiar with retroachievements.org?
No.
I'm gonna blow your mind right now. So retroachievements is a website that's totally free and it's the crowd sourced and all this. What they did was they took retro games and they gave them achievements, like Xbox achievements.
Okay.
Or like Sony trophies. And as long as you're using RetroArch or something like whatever emulator you're using, uh-huh, as long as it has like the achievements that they all
it'll plug into
you,
them.
You put in your account and it literally keeps track of like how your progression and like the achievements you've gotten in games.
That's cool.
And it kind of gives you kind of an idea of like how far you are. So I think I'm actually almost halfway in the game. And they're like, it was supposed to be like a 30-hour game, but I feel like I've been flying through it because I don't know. I feel like I got
what
lucky.
What level are your characters right now?
Oh, I think they're like 12.
Okay, I'm just behind you.
Yeah, I think like 12.
I think I just hit.
I'm in a part now where I actually have finally hit a speed bump in the game where I'm like, it's hard right now.
I think I just hit 11 with Mr. Miller.
And you level up kind of quick, but sometimes not. I don't know. I think it's well balanced and it's good entry level, but I love this game. It is gets 100% hidden gem status for me.
Yeah,
100%.
Like no further comments. I'm in the same boat. Like, okay. I said, I'm gonna go home and play it.
Yeah, tonight, I love so. This game. This game's great. Thank you, Kenshiro, for bestowing this upon me. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know of it other than that. Like I knew that. Like I knew of Wild Arms. Seen it before at the rental store.
It's funny, yeah, because I had heard the title before, yeah. And I was like, yeah, Wild Arms.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know anything about that.
You knew it has like a very loyal fan base. So
I see why. Yeah.
And also the further I looked into its history is like, I was like, I really dove deep, dude. I listened to 4 podcasts about this game's history.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was like in deep because I wouldn't do that for a game I didn't care about.
Mm.
And I learned more and more about it. And I realized like how important this game was to video game history. So this is kind of like, I don't want to like make it seem dramatic. It's not like, obviously it's not like Zelda.
Without this game, no other games would exist. Yeah.
Like to be clear, I still think Earthbound and Suikoden are better. Earthbound predates Suikoden, you know, is after, shortly after, but after. But it's up there. It's up there in RPGs that I think are must plays.
And well, I mean, this one had to, you know, discover the Americas.
Yes.
You know, it's like somebody had to be there first. So
and it did.
And this is a good first step.
Also, if you look at one last little trivia about the game, if you look at the combined scores of all the games, this first one actually got the highest. But the other ones were just slightly under. So they weren't. It wasn't like one of them was like 50% across the board. Like this one got like, I think, an 87% combined. But also it opened the door for a lot of everything. If you look at those reviews too, you see like people are just kind of like, wow, this is the new, this is like
the direction, new hotness. Yeah,
the direction we're going. But then Final Fantasy VII came out months later, and this game just didn't exist.
Punched it in
yeah,
the dick.
It was gone. So this game fell victim to Final Fantasy VII being like, because people can, that's why people love Final Fantasy VII so much. They think that it was the pioneer of transitioning JRPGs from the 16-bit to the 32-bit world. When actually it was Wild Arms.
Well, I think part of it is because the sprites in Final Fantasy VII,
the pre-rendered backgrounds for the whole game,
pre-rendered backgrounds, but you still have the 3D sprites running around, and I think that was a little, that was that touch extra that kind of pushed it in people's minds. Also, the fact that it was a 4-disc game,
and
then people were, and like,
that's why.
What,
like, they were so lucky to for that game to be as successful as it was, because that could have killed the franchise. Dude,
it's so expensive,
the production, dude. Yeah. Oh my god, no wonder they went hard on like the advertisements and everything. But I haven't played it, so I don't, I've just seen people play.
It's funny because I know all the other media attached to it.
Yeah,
and I'm very familiar with like characters.
I am too. Like I know
the story.
I know the lore. To me, it's like Harry Potter. Like I've never read a book, never seen a movie, but I know a lot about Harry Potter. You know,
we're not allowed to talk about Harry Potter right now.
Okay,
it's very controversial.
That's true. So, Wild Arms, you're a winner in our book, and we're glad you exist. Without you,
if you have a PlayStation 4 or 5, there's no excuse. Just go
$10,
it.
Man.
It's $10.
Yeah, it's worth it, and it honestly is a bit of a de-stressor for me. I've noticed this is why I like this game, or games like this, is that I get so involved into it that it actually reduces my daily stress. And I have a lot of stress.
It's a cozy game.
It's a cozy game where I'm just kind of, I was playing all my kids screaming in the background at me and whatever. And I was like, it's all good. I tried to get my son to play it. And I was like, hey, look, I think you'd like this game. And he goes, wow, that looks old. He's like, I don't play old school games, Dad. And then he went back to playing Roblox and Minecraft.
And
I was like, bro,
I don't play old school games. Do you want to play Rampart?
Yeah, he loves Rampart.
Right?
Right. He's silly. All right. It's time to pick a new game. It is a Super Nintendo game from whenever my birthday was. It was the first game I ever played. It's from KCB and it's Actraiser.
Oh, you've been wanting to play this ever since it got submitted, dude.
Join us next week. Next week we're stacking it up. Patreon, get them in. Love you guys. We'll see you then.
Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.